I'm Erica Earlbeck. This is the So You Talk to Cows podcast, a podcast for people who work in the agricultural communications industry. In each episode, I interview people working in the industry and ask questions that will help us all get better in our communications efforts. And I'm thrilled to have Jana Atkinson on this week's podcast. You may recognize Janet from RFD-TV's Market Day. She's now the Director of Public Policy and Advocacy for Missouri Farm Bureau. Janet is a longtime member and former president of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting. She and I have been friends since I worked in farm broadcasting, and it's so much fun to have her join us in the podcast today. Her career has taken her from the White House press room when she worked in D.C. to the river bottoms of Missouri to the plains of Kansas and then all around the world covering agricultural stories. I'll let Janet fill in the other blanks of her career, but today, Janet, welcome to the podcast, and I'm so excited for you to be here. My first question that I have for you is, tell me about your career, where you started, where you've been, and what you're doing now.
I am, I got my start actually down in Arkansas. So I graduated from Missouri State University with a degree in agriculture communications. And at the time, that was a new degree at the university. And I had started off in animal science thinking I was going to go pre-vet and had an encounter with organic chemistry that put a kibosh on that. So communications it was. And it turns out that was a better move for me by all means. So when I graduated, I ended up accepting a job down in Arkansas in Little Rock with the Arkansas Radio Network. Had a chance to work with my mentor at the time, Stuart Doan, or he became my mentor, of course. And Stuart just happened to be the president of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting when I went to work for him. So I was on the job about 3 days, and then he had a board meeting to go to. And I tell you what, you talk about feet to the fire. And having not actually been live on the air up until, you know, probably about 48 hours into the job, it was definitely trial by fire there that first few days. But it was a wonderful way to learn, honestly, because we were still using, you know, those carts at the time. And for those carts, you had to get it all right the first time. Otherwise, you had to start from scratch. And we had, if I remember correctly, we had a 2-minute program and then another one that was maybe 3 or 4 minutes long. And whenever he was gone on the road, I remember being at the office like 10 o'clock at night, almost in tears, because there was one spot where I just kept messing up just over and over and over again. So, you know how it is. You get 3 minutes into a broadcast and then you really take it. And then you got to start all over and you only had another 40 seconds to go. But as frustrating as that was, I think that was a great way to learn, because I learned it's okay to flub up every now and then. I mean, you don't want to, but you have to keep going, you know, especially whenever you're live. So you just don't let those little mishaps stop you or hang over your head too long, because there's more work to get done. So I think that was a great way to kind of get into a rhythm and be able to read ahead and keep pushing through, even though you might have a little trip every now and then. So that was my first start down there in Little Rock. And then I had the chance to come to Jefferson City, Missouri, and I worked for the Brownfield Network. And the Brownfield Network was the network that I heard growing up. So they had, you know, farm stations all across the Show Me State. And now they, of course, have farm stations all across the Midwest. And so I had the chance to work there for a few years. And then I thought I was going to go back and get my master's and realized that didn't pay real well, at least during the time I had other bills going on. So then I did not finish my master's degree, but I went out to Kansas and I went to work for KFRM Radio in Clay Center, Kansas, and was one of their farm broadcasters. And I was only there a year, and then I had the chance to come back to Missouri. And KMZU Radio in Carrollton, Missouri, which is about an hour east of Kansas City, was looking for a new farm director. So I moved there, and I was there about 7 years. And I really, both of those experiences were really interesting, because Arkansas and the Brownfield Network, my exposure to the ag industry at that time, you know, you dip your toe into the crop production on both of those. And I came from a livestock background, so that was kind of a little bit of an introduction. But going to Kansas and then also going to Clay Center, to Carrollton, which is in the Missouri River bottoms, you're also in completely different terrain. Mm-hmm. So I got to learn a little bit more about some of the challenges that those folks face. Obviously Kansas, just because you've got so much wheat country, but North Missouri, because you've got the bottomlands and their struggles with the river issues and some of the terminology that they use that I'd never heard of before. In South Central Missouri, we have flash flooding. In North Missouri, they have broad flooding. It comes in overnight and it's like, where did this come from kind of thing. So that was a really good experience. But I was there at that time when I was had the opportunity to serve on the board at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting. So I think of NAFB as my, many of us were active in FFA in high school. So I think of NAFB as my professional career network community. And it really has been that. So I had the chance to, I was elected to serve as president. And then during that time, I connected with Mark Oppold, who was with RFD-TV. And then I was able to push the door open and get my way in.
Nice.
And so I got to work for RFD then at that time. And that was just when they were getting ready to launch Rural Radio 147 on Sirius XM. So I came on board with the idea of doing a lot of the radio stuff, but I was able to push my foot in the door and get to do some of the TV stuff as well too. So, and then I was down there, I was with RFD for about 10 years. And I thought, you know, I'm ready to get back closer to home. And so that's how I ended up back here in Jeff City, just up the road, like 100 yards away from Brownfield. And I am now also just 2 hours away from home and family. So it's kind of nice to be back in the home network.
So you have come full circle then.
Yeah. I have made quite a trip.
Yes, you have. Well, tell as far as your broadcast career goes, what did you enjoy the most about it? And then, yeah, just share some stories about your career and some of the things that you did.
You know, it's, I talked about the idea of the organic chemistry bringing my pre-vet career to an end. Obviously a blessing in disguise, because I was not meant to be a science person at any means.
I think chemistry ends a lot of people's vet school dreams.
Yeah, I think so. With good reason. Just cut it off before we get too deep into the weeds on it. But communications and getting paid to talk, that has worked out well. You know, I can't argue awesome. With that. And getting to kind of develop a relationship with the audience, no matter what location I was in, you get to develop a relationship with your audience. It was a little bit more intimate, obviously, whenever you're working in the local radio station like KMCU, where you go out to the grocery store and you're crossing paths with folks who know that you're on the radio and know that this is the church you go to or what you drive and that kind of stuff. So that was a little bit more of an intimate setting. But then to do it on the network level and then also on the national level with RFD, you still develop that same kind of family connection, especially in our agriculture communications world, because whenever we go to the Farm Progress Show or the Commodity Classics or NCBA, you know, folks, they know you, you've been in their home. And so it is that friendly connection where you still have that community. It's just a little bit bigger community than what you might've imagined. And that's one of the things that I think was most fun about the broadcast career. And then of course, having a background in agriculture and getting to talk about ag issues at the same time is always great too.
Awesome. Do you have like a favorite story that you did or one that's really just stuck with you as your most memorable story or anything like that?
You know, I'd have to say, I don't know that it would be a specific story, but one of my most unique experiences, I think, was the first chance to travel international. And, you know, one of the things that the farm broadcast world is blessed with, sometimes those opportunities come along. And I had the chance to go to India and Morocco. And this is back in 2001, pre-9/11. So we traveled, I want to say it was like March, April of that year. And I'd been to Canada before, but you know, that didn't really count as far as leaving the country.
Right.
And especially because it was just driving across the border at that time. They had to go through the process and everybody's talking, well, it's going to be interesting. Don't drink the water. Don't eat this. Don't do this. So, you know, I'm not that old at the time. And so I'm a little freaked out. So I stocked up and I had, I think, at least 2 1-liter bottles of water, in addition to some small bottles of water, a Ziploc bag of peanuts, another thing of granola and granola bars and all this kind of stuff. So I could hopefully survive the basically 2 weeks we're on the road. And it worked well in that regard, because as I drank the water, I made room for all the goodies I could bring home.
Right.
But, you know, once I got there and finally got settled in, it was a wonderful, such a unique experience to see things that I never in a million years would have had the chance or expected to have had the chance to see. So, you know, whether it was having the chance to cover some events in the White House, to traveling around the globe for some of these opportunities, every time you just kind of, how on earth did I get here? And those are what really stick out, you know?
Cool. So now you're with Missouri Farm Bureau. Tell me what your job entails there.
So I am the Director of Public Affairs, and we have a team of about five of us here, and we oversee the magazine publication. We have a quarterly magazine. We also have the website for not only the Federation, but also for the Farm Bureau insurance side, so the commercial side. And then we also oversee the social media aspect of everything too. And our crew will take pictures and also take video, do some promotional activities. And social media, as we all know, is becoming a lot more prominent in all of our lives, no matter what part of communications we're in. So that's kind of what we do here as a department. I oversee things. I'm still new. I'm only, you know, 2 months into the job now and still trying to get my feet on the ground. One of the wonderful blessings is that, you know, I keep being told by the powers that be, they're like, you're not going to have your head wrapped around this for a good year. So don't overly stress yourself out and, you know, worry about this or worry about that. I'm like, okay, that's good to know. And they've reiterated that a number of times. So, you know, we're looking at what can we do to spice things up, change things up, maybe not reinvent the wheel and highlight some things that we already do, maybe in different ways, and get some more eyes on some of the stories that the crew creates, and even share some of those stories, of course, with media friends across the country too.
So lots of, it sounds like a lot of advocacy type of type of work that you're doing. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So as far as being a good advocate for the ag industry, because that's something that, you know, I think if you work in the ag industry, then you're an advocate or should be one. So what are some things that you have discovered so far, and I know there's stuff that you've figured out with your old job. What are things that make a good advocate, or what are some things that we all can do to be a good advocate for the ag industry?
I think one of the things that is the best to do and sometimes the most challenging to do is whenever you take the time to speak from the heart, whenever you can actually tell your story from your own personal experience. And, you know, whether you're a mom and you've got kids in the school district and you're juggling that and your off-farm job as well as on-farm duties, and shuttling kids from here to there, and one's getting ready to head out to college or head out to an internship across the country. You know, those things are things that stress you, but they're also things that stress the mom that lives in suburban America as well too. And she's getting ready to be an empty nester too. So there's always these connections that connect us all, whether it's, you know, that family tie, whether it's a background that we grew up in similar rural communities, whether it's the fact that we both drive the same vehicle, you know, there's no telling what connection it might be, but sharing your story and the things that bring a smile to your world, bring smiles to other people's worlds as well too. And that might be a connecting point for you to share. And, but at the same time I say that, and the reason I say some folks are hesitant, that's also kind of making yourself vulnerable. But that's why that connection makes sense. You know, that vulnerability and putting yourself out there really helps out. And in today's social media world, sometimes that's pretty scary too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, trial and error and figure out what works for you. And if there's something that doesn't work for you, then change it up to a way that it does work for you. You know, there's no written guideline or rules that you have to follow. So why not create your own path that works best for your world?
Part of your job involves the public affairs side too. And I assume that that's going to like the state capitol and things like that. Is that kind of,
it could eventually. I'm not there yet, but there'll be a lot of meetings. I have a full slate of meetings already, about a dozen meetings, I think, this fall, where I'll go speak to the county meetings and kind of tell them, you know, whether it's they want to hear about my background or whether they want to hear what's going on with public affairs or with Farm Bureau in general, some of the legislative activities, you know, those will be conversations that I'll take on, some of the different meetings in and around town, trying to facilitate. We had our president testified at a public services meeting today. So our team put together a statement on that and trying to facilitate all the editing that will take place before things actually finish up. You know, that's all part of the process and making sure that we're also connecting with the media who's trying to tell the story and that they have the information that they need to do so.
So, you know, the ag communications industry, ag broadcast industry has all forms of just the under the umbrella ag communications industry have changed and evolved a lot in over the years. There's still some things that always work or stand the test of time. What are those things that you think are that always work for you?
I think from the perspective of building a community, building a network and relying on that network and pulling that network together. And, you know, I'm in public affairs now. I was a farm broadcaster beforehand. Thankfully, as you know, as you say, it's still under the ag communications umbrella, but I haven't done public affairs before. So I am, and I need to continue to do is pull a community together of those professionals and learn from them. And one of the things that I constantly tell myself, and thankfully I know that I'm not the smartest person in the room, so it's easy to believe, is that, you know, I don't know what I don't know. So who knows something that I need to know? And being able to build a connection with those people and also being humble enough to know that there is always something I need to learn and trying to gather that knowledge, but then also knowing that other people are coming up in that position as well too. And where are my hurdles taking place and how can I help somebody over the hurdles that they have?
Do you have any tips that you would offer for a young agricultural communicator who is just getting started with their career?
Absolutely. I would say is probably the first thing that comes to mind is probably something that you have shared with your classes, I would imagine, over and over again. But it was one of those things that I learned early on and I thought, wow, I cannot let this go. And it is simply at the very end of an interview just to ask, is there anything else that you'd like to add? And I find so often whenever they're not worried about my question and they can say whatever they want to say, a lot of times I get my better sound bite right there. And, you know, whenever you're in TV, though, you don't always get to do that because you're in a live interview. And so you don't always have that kind of time flexibility. But whenever you're doing a recorded audio, whether for print or for radio, you've got that flexibility to kind of toss that in there. And they can talk about something that they wanted to talk about instead of what you were asking about. So I always like to kind of toss that in there. And sometimes it might lead to a whole other topic and you might get a little more mileage out of your interview. Second thing that I will tell is that opportunities are going to come your way. And sometimes they're opportunities you were looking for. Sometimes they are opportunities that you were not looking for. But one of the things that I promised myself early on is that if an opportunity comes my way, I will at least consider it. And I don't have to take it. You know, God brings me the door. I don't have to walk through it, but I'll at least, you know, try and take a peek at what's on the other side. For that, I go back to whenever I left the Arkansas Radio Network in Little Rock. I'd only been there a year, so I wasn't actually looking to leave, but a friend through the National FFA or through FFA called and he said, hey, Janet, we're looking at something for somebody new here at Brownfield in case you want to come back closer to home. I thought, well, oh, I'll go check it out, see what they have to say. Well, lo and behold, it was a really good opportunity for me just to go ahead and make that change. And while I was sad to leave Arkansas, it was a really good experience to work with the folks at Brownfield. I have had that kind of, well, I should even back up before that when I was out of college and looking for my first career job. I went after I graduated and considered one job there in Springfield, Missouri, and it had something to do with basically shipping and logistics, all that kind of stuff. And they invited me to come in and sit with them at the computers and see what they do. And it didn't take very long to say, I can't do this. My attention span is not going to serve well in this field. So that was a good opportunity that company allowed me to do, so I could move on and consider the next opportunity that came along. And I had another FFA person who had reached out to me then. She and I had graduated college together, and she was a farm broadcaster at KKOW in Kansas. And she said, there's a job opening down in Little Rock, Arkansas with the Arkansas Radio Network. I think you'd really like it. And at that time, being an agriculture communications major, I had thought working in broadcast would be kind of cool, but it wasn't something I was going to get to do. That's what other people get to do.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of worked out. And lo and behold, that was my first step into broadcast. And, you know, that's now been, of course, a few jobs ago. But the point of the story being is that, you know, sometimes opportunities show up out of the blue and present themselves. And if you just say no right off the bat, you might really miss some pretty cool experiences along the way. So consider them. You don't have to take them, but at least go see what they have to offer.
Yeah, good. Yeah, never say no to an opportunity that might.
That's right. I should probably consider that more in my dating world, but it hadn't worked out there either.
Well, before I move to the lightning round, is there anything else you would like to add?
That Erica is a lovely fellow farm broadcaster who abandoned ship to go teach, but she is expanding minds, and we appreciate her all the more for it.
And I'm warming my way back in with this podcast.
There you go.
Okay, lightning round. These are just quick, fun questions, just a few word answer on them. Okay, so right. Yeah, don't spend a lot of time thinking about them. First question, you travel a lot. What's your favorite airport?
You know, I really used to like Kansas City.
What?
And the reason I say this is that if you've had to fly in or out of Kansas City on a regular basis, there was no airport easier to get in and out of than right. What Kansas City was about 4 months ago. And yeah. Well, I haven't been to the new one, so I can't tell you what it's like now. But I appreciate the ease in and out of what Kansas City once was.
That is true. True, true.
But you don't want to be stuck there for a whole day.
No, and I have been. So that's why I reacted the way I did. What is your favorite thing to do when stuck in an airport?
I listen to podcasts and also audiobooks. And of course, typically, no offense to any ag communications podcast we might be thinking of, but I somehow, for some reason, I don't know why we do this, but you know, crime.
It's so popular.
Yeah. It is. I can't stop.
Yeah. Okay. So what would be your favorite podcast?
Oh, I don't know. I just go with whatever is updated at the time. But I do like them whenever they're an ongoing series of things. I really like, you know, I did listen to the Serial, Dr. Death, mm-hmm. some of those different ones. I like the storytelling aspect where it's an ongoing thing. So I really like those, but I'll listen to the one-offs. You know, there's the girls that do My Favorite Murder, I think is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Each one focuses on a different one, and that's okay. But I kind of like the more in-depth, longer, dedicated process.
Cool. What is the best book that you've listened to lately or read?
Well, right now I am listening to the Terminal List that now Chris Pratt is doing Netflix or something. Mm-hmm. So I started that book. And so I'm like on book number 5 for it. What is it called? The Jack Carr series. This one's In the Blood. And well, if you don't like graphic, don't do it. But it's a pretty good book for the most part.
Okay, great. And what is a travel tip that you would pass along to people that maybe don't travel very often or foresee themselves traveling quite a bit in their future?
if you're going to be traveling a lot of quite a bit, I used to have basically a to-go bag as far as, you know, for my toiletries, an extra toothbrush, an extra thing of toothpaste, all those little bitty things that you can easily forget. I used to have a bag that was just in the suitcase, ready to go no matter what. And then I stopped traveling and I got out of that habit, and it's really kicked me in the butt a few times. So, but if you're going to travel a whole lot, it's good to have something like that, that is just always rock solid, always in your suitcase.
That is excellent advice. And I hope our friends listening are getting to, or will someday have the chance to travel and see the world as much as you have. Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. So You Talk to Cows was created with production support from the Department of Agricultural Education and Communications at Texas Tech University and produced by me, Erica Earlbeck. I have another episode that will drop next week, so be sure to use that follow button so you don't miss any episodes.